lovely Debbie the last time, and just to remind you, she's preaching again next week, part two of her talk, so ready yourself for that. So has it come on the screen? Yeah, right, okay, just a reminder. For those of you taking notes, take notes by all means, that's absolutely fine. But I will, whatever you see on the screen will come to you via WhatsApp. So those of you that use WhatsApp, I'll ping the notes out via that way. So, dealing with bad news by using the good news. And I really felt God this week draw me to Psalm 3. So that's why it says Psalm 3 at the bottom there. He really laid that on my heart. And I struggled with how I was going to bring it, we'll see, hopefully it will work out. This is not my slide, this was just something I picked off Google Images that I just thought it was helpful. Bad news, bad news does not come from God. God is good news. Bad news comes from the enemy, and it has a number of motivations, and there are some of them on there. It looks to destroy our thinking, disrupt our peace. You know, it spreads untruths, lies. Seeks to break down the truth of God's word. I want you to just bear that slide in mind as we go through. So this is Psalm 3. This is in the NIV. There are only 8 verses, so we're going to read it. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people. Just a bit of background. This is David writing this particular psalm. And probably in your Bibles, it will have a legend at the top, along the lines of it being written at the time of his son Absalom seeking to destroy David, take over the kingdom from David. Now, that's not part of God's word. People have inserted that over the centuries, and it may or may not be true, but clearly David when he wrote those words that we've just read together, was feeling the pressure. The multitude were against him. And we too can feel like that. You know, when you think about the bad news, what are the big ticket items that are currently in the media, in the public consciousness at the moment, that is bad news? What if we were to do a straw poll amongst our friends and neighbours in the communities that we live in, what would they be anxious about? War in Ukraine. That's way somewhere over there. Why are we worried about war in Ukraine? Sorry. It could spread. There is genuine anxiety that NATO will be drawn in, and as a member of NATO, you know, the Russian Premier has said, you know, UK will be the first country to hit because we got behind Ukraine. So yeah, it could spread. Why else? Yeah, there's instability. Instability. Okay, so you know that war has had a knock-on effect that is affecting our lives as we live them today, because our fuel's gone up, our food price, well, all prices have gone up, not just food. You know, countries thousands of miles away in Africa and Asia are struggling because they can't get the grain. It's bad news, the war in Ukraine. What else is a big ticket item other than the war in Ukraine? COVID. You know, just as we thought we might be edging out of COVID, this strange thing called monkeypox has reared its head, and we've had the first two deaths in Spain and some in Brazil. And will that spread like COVID? You know, we can get consumed by the bad news. We can get consumed, and people are. If you go on social media, you see how people are almost hyping themselves up, getting sucked in, and there's so much misinformation in there. And so it was for David. Let's break this down and go through it. Verse by verse. We'll look at the first two verses. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. I foolishly forgot to distribute these. I don't know how many times I've forgotten to do this. Graham, will you just distribute these around everybody? If you don't want to receive this, please feel free to hand it back. I'm going to ask you to read them out when we come to them. There are no complicated words in them. And even if they were, the way that you say it is absolutely fine. But there are no complicated words in there. But if you don't want to read it out, wave it in the air and Graham will come and collect it off you and give it to someone else. Three times in those verses it says many. You know, David was was really feeling the pressure. The multitude, you know, the spies were looking for him everywhere. Absalom had raised an army to seek him out and destroy him and overthrow him. Many, many. Who's got Matthew 11? Oh, Debbie. Yeah, one of them. Read it out to us.
Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
See, it's really, really easy for us to become weighed down by all the troubles. I think it's important to be in the world but not of the world. We need to know what is going on so that we can talk to our friends and our neighbors, especially those that don't yet know God. To know what they're experiencing, to know how they're being affected by things. But we need to remember that we're not to take on those burdens. In those lovely verses that Debbie wrote, Jesus is saying to each and every person in the world, just come to me. Let me take from you all your burdens, all your worries, all your fears, all your anxieties, all your pressures. And receive instead his gentle yoke, his easy yoke, and receive from him the rest that he's promised. That rest, rest in him. We can become overwhelmed by those burdens. We need to give them over to Christ. Who's got Ephesians 6?
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God,
so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. David, like us, is facing many foes. Ones that are personal to us, and ones that we're all facing. You know, like COVID was affected us all. Some things will affect us very personally. But in that passage that Lucy read, we're being compelled to put on the armour of God. Now it's a fair bet. I could say this with, I hope, 100% confidence that each and every one of you this morning put on fresh knickers and fresh underpants. I hope you did. We do it almost without thinking. You know, more or less every morning I get dressed in the dark. Some Sundays you may look at me and think, Did he get dressed in the dark this morning? Yeah. So it's not to wake Jackie. I will get dressed in the dark. But I always put on, yeah, open the drawer, fresh pair of boxers. But do we put on that armour of God each and every day? We're doing it with underwear. There's no, as far as I'm aware, there's no verse in the Bible that tells us to put on fresh underwear every single day. Yet we do it. But do we do the putting on of that armour of God? Because we're facing, like David, many foes. The enemy is seeking to undermine us, destroy us, turn our hearts. And if we will but put on that armour, we will be able, as it says at the end of that final verse, we will be able to stand our ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. It's not that we will stand and crumple, just, but we will be able to stand and face whatever the enemy sends our way. Who's got the 1 Peter 5? Right, read it out for us. Many a saving of me, God will not deliver him. You know, you may have heard those similar words spoken over you. But what John was sharing there is that God's mighty hand will deal with all our anxieties as long as we're believing in that word and have faith in that word, because he cares for us. That's what John just said. He cares for us. People can say what they like. God won't do anything. But we have a truth. God cares for us. In the midst of all these troubles that may be raining around us, if we put on the armour of God and stand on that truth that God cares for you, for me, then the enemy will not prevail. Right, let's move it along. Verses 3 to 4. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. Shield. Let's look at Genesis 15, verse 1. Who's got that? God is saying, He who is, I am who I am, is saying, I am your shield. There's no equivocation in there. There's no buts or maybes. I am your shield. I am your shield. Deuteronomy 33. Who's got that?
Blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, the people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights.
So reinforcing that point, He is our shield and glorious sword. He will cut through. He will defend all that the enemy throws our way. And they will cower before you. Ephesians 6, verse 16. So God is our shield, but the Word of God tells us to take up our shield. It's part of the armor. You know, in ancient Hebrew times, they had two shields. They had this big rectangular shield that they could get right behind, and it would stop most of what the enemy was throwing their way. They could gather together and form an even bigger shield. And they had a small shield, often circular, that they would go into battle with a sword. And we need to be likewise. We you know, there are times when we need to come entirely under God's protection. Is that yours? Entirely under God's protection. Under that big shield. But there are times when we need to take a shield and go on the offensive also. There's a time for resting in God, seeking His protection, but a time also for stepping forward. We can't forever stay in a strong tower. We need to go forward. God's calling us to go forward. Romans 8. Present sufferings. There's nothing in the Bible that says you become a Christian and hard things won't come your way. You'll only have a good and happy and wonderful time. You know, the enemy, as soon as you make that commitment or even think about making that commitment to Christ, to God, the enemy is going to want to get on the attack. He's going to want to work against you. But that word also promises that His glory, not our glory, not our arrogance, His glory will be revealed. 1 Peter, who's got that? Jackie. Oh, sufferings, insults, they're going to come our way. They're going to come our way. But our response should be to be filled with joy. You know, it's one of the hardest things for me personally is when I'm suffering, when I'm anxious, when I'm worrying, to be filled with joy. To be praising God. You know, I have to remind myself to rejoice. I say again, rejoice. Sufferings will come. Just as David was facing that oppression. But God's glory will rest on you. As Jackie said, the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you, who is overjoyed despite the trials and tribulations of life. Psalm 84. The Lord God describes him a being like the sun. His glory just shines forth. And that reminder that he is also our shield. And if we're in that place of glory, we will receive honor. We will receive favor from God. It's not about, see, honor, glory, they can become a sign of arrogance, a sign of pride, if we're seeking it for ourselves. It should be bestowed on us by God. I'm not seeking the honor and glory of you. I'm seeking the honor and glory of God. I want to glorify God. Everything I do needs to be for His glory. Romans 8, 14 to 15. Now, David was crying out to his Lord. And it's wonderful that we have a God that we can call the Almighty. We can revere and respect Him. But through Christ, through Christ, we can also cry out, Abba, Father. He's not just our Lord, the King, God. He is also our Father. And we are His children. And as we cry out, what does it say in 1 John 5?
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask.
So those around us may say, there's no such thing as God, or God won't listen to you, and you're not worthy. But we know we can approach our Father. And if we're in times of difficulty, turmoil, just as David was, that we can seek His intercession, as long as we're asking for things that accord with His will. So, you can imagine David being somewhere on a hillside, maybe in a cave, aware of all that was going on around him and that was oppressing him, seeking to overcome him, and thinking, well, God, it'd be really good if you gave me a six-pack, some really muscly arms, an eye to smite anybody who came near me. But would that have accorded with God's will? If we ask for riches, for beauty, etc. We should be asking for things that accord with his will. And then he will hear us. So this passage in Psalm 3 continues. I lay down to sleep, I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail me on every side. I don't know about you, I do lay down. Mostly I sleep. Often, not often, but from time to time, I do wake again, and I am troubled by something, and I, unlike David, I don't go back to sleep easily. When worries are spinning round in my head. But when I do sleep, and I wake in the morning, it's in the full knowledge that God has sustained me. And you see that Hebrew word down in that speech bubble. Sormac. Loosely means sustain. It's speaking about how we are guarded by something. How we lean into something. How we rest on something secure. Because that's what the Lord does. He guards us. He gives us rest. It's his strength that we lean into, lean on. That's how he sustains us through these battles that are reigning around us. Who's got Philippians 4? Not be anxious. You know, we read it, I don't know how many times in God's word. Don't be anxious. Do not worry. Do not fear. It's said time and time again, because we need to hear and absorb those words, those truths. Just putting on the armor is really important. We need to hear these words. Do not be anxious, and let his peace, the peace that he gives, guard our hearts and minds. Jesus just wants to embrace us, mind, body and spirit, with his peace. Matthew 9.
Just then, a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, if I only touch his cloak, I will be healed. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment.
For 12 years, that woman had been suffering. That physical ailment, but also because bleeding was a culturally difficult thing for the Jewish population. She would have been ostracized by those around her. For 12 years she was facing that oppression. Yet her heart of faith led to her healing. And that's what we need. Hearts of faith. As David had, heart of faith. We need to have a heart of faith when we're facing whatever difficulties we're facing. Hearts of faith. 1 John, who's got that passage in 1 John? David was not going to fear, even though tens of thousands were seeking to overcome him. He was surrounded, but he was not going to let that fear overcome him. He believed that God would guard him. And it's the same for us, that word that we just heard. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. That's our victory. We have but to believe in Jesus, the Son of God. All that he said, all that he did, all that he commands us to do. We can say the words of the creed, "I believe." But in our heart of hearts, in our daily walk, are we demonstrating? Are we living that belief? "Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked. From God comes deliverance. May your blessings be on your people." The final two verses of this passage. As I was reading this, it just struck me. Deliver me, my God. You know, if you say it in that way as opposed to, "Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God." Deliver me, my God. It reminded me of that passage in Luke 22. Someone's got Luke 22. Jesus was seeking, asking if he could be relieved of what he was facing. But he wanted to do and go through everything in accordance with the Father's will. And we can cry out in our moments of difficulty. Lord, take it away. But God uses those difficult situations that we face to mold us, to change us, to teach us. It's not its design that we suffer. We live in a fallen world, and the enemy is running amok in this fallen world. But those hardships, those difficulties, God will use them for our benefit. Now, that phrase in the middle there, strike my enemies on the jaw, break the teeth of the wicked, it can sound a bit off-putting to our ears in this day and age. But that was because there was a custom in that time. If you struck someone round the face, it brought immense humiliation to that person. You were asserting yourself over them, and that person was vilified and humiliated. So that's what David's seeking there. From the Lord comes deliverance. And I just, you know, we're constantly saying that we should read the whole Bible through the eyes of Jesus, the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And deliverance in Hebrew is Yeshua. And that's a derivative of Jesus' Hebrew name. Jesus. That's why it's got such a strong correlation with deliverance and salvation. Because it is part of who he is. Yeshua. Joshua. I want to finish. Have any of you seen this? Is this familiar to you? Right. In a moment, I'm going to go on YouTube and show you a video. But it is a number of these images. So what you've got here is a painting, and then in this square is a video. So this part of the picture will change. This will remain static because it's a painting. It won't change. So right now, when you look at her, is she happy, sad, pensive? What? How are you reading that face? Anxious is one.
She's thinking.
Thinking, so she's a bit pensive, right? Okay. Any others? Right. All right.
Fearful.
Okay. That's what we're reading, essentially, there. Right. I'm going to try and pop us on YouTube. And whoa, we'll get rid of the volume because we don't need the volume. All right, I'll just make sure. Yeah. Just want it to play slowly. Right, so it's going to come. come up. This bit will change. I want you to keep your eye on the eyes as well. Do the eyes change? All right, I'm going to take. You mentioned that she looks pensive, but by the end of it, are those eyes still looking pensive?
No.
No. You know, and you, that it is surprising, isn't it? Yeah, who'd have believed it was possible? Yeah, I'm gonna. I'm gonna take us away from it. Oh, and you're thinking, why has he shown us that? Yes. William's up to no good. Because this passage from Job. People listen to me expectantly, waiting in silence for my counsel. After I had spoken, they spoke no more. My words fell gently on their ears. They waited for me as for showers, and drank in my words as the spring rain. When I smiled at them, they scarcely believed it. The light of my face was precious to them. I think it's in the context of all that we've looked at this morning, the attacks, worries, burdens that we face, it's very easy to become downcast and downtrodden. But we're called to be different. As some of the scripture we looked at earlier, we're called to resonate joy, to rejoice. And smiling, even though we're facing a difficulty, may cause another person to say, I know what you're going through. Why do you seem happy about it? That dissonance may be a way in. God can use the fact that we are rejoicing. That, okay, I'm going through a hard time, but I rejoice because I know that Jesus is my Savior. I know I have a God who is my shield. I know I have a God I can lean into, I can rest upon, who will guard me. So even though by the world standards I should be down here, I'm not. Now I can't claim to getting that 100% right all the time. But it should be a spur to us, as it was. You know, the words that we speak can be thirst-quenching, gentle words to be received by others. Our smile can be a moment of breakthrough for others. So let's be like David and not be despondent about what's raging around us, what may be out to get us, because God is with us. Who on earth can be against us? Amen. Amen. Do you have a song? Oh, Dawn, were you troubled by that? What I just said? Oh.